Roberto Willis. Let us engage. It is Politics Done Right.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Well, folks, welcome to One More Edition of Politics and Run. I'm Roberto Willis, your host. Thank you so kindly for being part of the show. We are going to have a great show for you today. Welcome aboard E2247. Read some of the consequences of the Israeli genocide or the genocide in Gaza. I'll be reading some of what you put there, Senor E2247. Michael Rudden is in the house from Brooklyn, New York. Paul Fleming is in the house from Atlanta, Georgia. We have, of course, in the house as well. We're kind of slim pickings. Let's see if our mail out went out yet. Anyhow, we're going to have a great show for you today, my dear brothers, peeps. Okay, it seems like it just went out, so we should be getting a few more people in a minute. But talking about casualties, right now we have from Eric Hayes is in the house. He says, yo. Paul Fleming says, good news, more than 200 chemical plants nationwide will be required to reduce toxic emissions likely to cause cancer. Under a new federal EPA rule, this will bring about critical health protection for many majority black areas affected by industrial pollution. We all know that pollution has a where industry put its things has a racial component to it. You just have to drive around Houston and it becomes quite evident. Do any ideas for stopping genocide arise unseen? That is from our one and only E2247. Before the settlers, Gazan Jews, the history of Jews in the Ottoman Empire. Eric Hayes says, but we still count on chemistry and chemical plants. Oh, I would hope so, but that doesn't mean we should pollute the environment. In fact, chemistry, if we do things right, the environment would be just fine. We also have 109,530, well, let me start from the beginning. Day 187 since the 7th of October 2023, at least 33,482 Palestinians killed. And you said it, at least 274 persons more than day 185, at least 764,049 wounded, 116 persons more than day 185, equal 109,531 casualties, 586 per day of estimate, 5.3 million people. That's 2% of West Bank and Gaza Palestinian population with 33,000 killed, equal 179 average per day. Thank you for that breakdown. When you break it down like that, it gives it more urgency. It actually shows that in effect, the type of wipeout we are having out there is really a genocide. Thank you for putting that in those stark numbers, Brother E2247. Michael Rodden says, ABC News. Well, before that, let's go to Paul Fleming. He says, keep your eyes on this story. Shadowy online Access Bank and its biggest billionaire shareholder, Don Hanke, have together extended more than $500 million in financing for Trump's benefit. They helped him out on loans and now a huge civil judgment. What will they get in return? Well, they're hoping that he wins, which means they're going to invest a lot of money for him to win, which means we have a lot of work to do because, again, remember, money is not the only thing that allows you to win. All right. Michael puts more info about Paul's news, Texas Tribune, EPA rule. Thank you for that, Michael Rudden. Rudden also says ABC News, more than 200 chemical plants nationwide will be required to reduce toxic emissions that are likely to cause cancer under a new rule issued Tuesday by the Environmental Protection Agency. The rule advances President Joe Biden's commitment to environmental justice by delivering critical health protections for communities burdened by industrial pollution from ethylene oxide, chlorofluorine, and other dangerous chemicals. Areas that will benefit from new rule, majority black neighborhoods outside of New Orleans at the EPA. Significantly, the EPA administration Michael Reagan visited as part of 2021 journey to Justice Tour. The rule will significantly reduce emissions of chloroprene and other harmful pollutants at the Denke Performance Elastomer facility in Laplace, Louisiana, the largest source of chloroprene emission in the country. Eric Hayes says, looks like Harris County giveaway program will be canceled. $500 per month to various zip codes instead of just spending on programs for all. Well, actually, it's an experiment of how basic income works. And unfortunately for the people that are not willing to think outside of the box, it looks like, in fact, they're going to kill it. But I have done interviews with a lot of people who are working on basic income. And this would have been a great test pilot to see how a basic income could move poor people into the middle class. But of course, anything that tries to do good by our human beings or people, Republicans are against. They believe in this false thing about lifting yourself up by the bootstrap, which they've never done themselves. So, they're going to kill the program. And in killing the program, a lot of people that could have been helped won't be helped. Wow, I don't think that is something to be proud of. Experiment in social engineering, not in Texas, it seems, maybe in California. Well, again, like I said, you're restating it in a different manner. Red states are very, very harsh, immoral. Their leadership very immoral and don't like to move through science. But that's who we are until we get rid of these thugs that we have running our state. Daimler made $20 billion in profit since 2018, but workers got left behind. That's why Local 3520 members in Cleveland, North Carolina are fired up and ready to fight for a record contract. Their current deal expires on April 26. TikTok, stand up to Daimler. I agree. Michael says, if government doesn't act to make people's lives better, what good is it? Exactly. And that's why Biden has a lot of work to do, because what's going to happen is, Trump is going to lie his teeth off and people are going to say, oh, well, maybe Trump will be there to save us. They've misremembered what it was like living under Trump. I'll tell you something that happened today. I was watching MSNBC as I was spinning, and they gave, there is this, Halperin, I think is his name, Halperin. He had a focus group. And the focus group, they asked them several questions, right? They asked them about the economy. But before I go into the economy that they asked about, right? They asked, today there was a poll by Quinnipiac. Quinnipiac asked Americans how they're doing. Over 50%, I think it was more like 60% of Americans said individually they're doing well or fairly well. And then they asked the same people, how is the economy? And when they spoke about the economy, it was upside down. It was upside down. So you had individual people saying the economy is good or great for them, much more than 50%. But when you ask how is the economy overall, they say the economy is not good. That is, those two terms are mutually exclusive. You can't have 50% of people telling, over 50% saying the economy is great for me, and then at the same time, you have most of those people saying the economy is terrible. Now, the problem I have with the focus group is as follows. They asked them they thought Biden was better for everything except the economy. Of course, all the things that they think Biden is good for also aids the economy. This is where I say the news make you stupid. Okay? And let me explain. Our mainstream media makes you stupid, and I'm going to explain why. So I just gave what the Quinnipiac poll said. Now, when they ask all the people in this focus group, and these were all undecided voters, when they ask them, who do you think is better for the economy? Donald Trump. Okay, fine. That is okay. It is okay that they think Donald Trump is better for the economy. And then they ask them about Biden, and they talk about Biden being bad, etc. Here's the kicker. The questioner then says, what policy do you think Biden should implement to make things better? Nobody had an answer. Nobody could say what they thought Biden was doing wrong. And that's fine as well. It is fine. The next question, in my humble opinion, should be, what did you think Trump did better with the economy than Biden? And do remember, Trump only served for 4 years. And if you take a look at the charts, he was just living off of the Obama economy. And after Trump got into office.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Lolly Focus Pops or Lolly Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
For a while, instead of the curve going up to say that he had anything to do with it, he started to tap out on what the Biden economy did. So let's go back now. So what we have here is they didn't ask the people in the focus group, what specifically, I repeat, what specifically in the Biden, in the Trump economy, what policies did Trump provide to make that economy better for you? No question on that. Secondly, what do you think the pandemic had with respect to the Biden economy? No question on that. Thirdly, the question that should, the most important question that should have been asked is, why would you blame Biden for inflation? Who causes inflation? And when I say the mainstream media makes you stupid, that's what I mean. A president that has not created a shortage, a president whose policies have been, and this is Biden now, you can drill as much as you want. We're not going to add any tariffs to any additional tariffs to China. None of the things that Biden did are inherently inflationary. Everything that the corporations did were inflationary. And we can see that inflation in their balance sheet or their income statements. How? If you look at how much profit and shareholder value got created under Biden during the zoom up in inflation, you see that the price increases are directly a function of how much profit these companies want, and not what their increase in costs. But it's worse, because when the guys at the bottom of the chain, vis-a-vis oil companies, when they just decide that they want to raise prices, oil companies, that permeates itself throughout the entire economy. Why? Because if you're increasing the price of oil, it means you're increasing the price of fossil generated electricity from oil. It means you're increasing the price of travel. You're increasing all of transportation, etc. And all of that gets into the price of your bread, the price of all these other items. So the genesis of inflation a lot of times starts with oil and a lot of different commodities, where the corporations are in full control of deciding what prices they want to charge. As economist Professor Richard Wolff points out, they determine if they're going to raise the prices or not. And in the case of corporations during the Biden administration, they chose, not any market force of shortages or anything, they forced a false shortage that created the inflation. But the media doesn't tell you that. And the questioning that Halperin did with the focus group didn't touch that. So again, the mainstream media makes you stupid, because every American needs to know who to blame. If we knew that we should be blaming an oil company who deterministically raised prices, and because everything we have is an oil-based economy, in as much as Biden allowed them to drill as much as they wanted to, okay? Think about it. It's not the fault of Biden. It's the corporations. And until we see the reality that corporations must be blamed, held accountable, and called out, and then taxed the profit out of them. You want to make an inordinate profit? Go ahead. Tax the profit out of them, and then progressively give that money back to the individual taxpaying American. And not even just taxpaying American. Give it back to the Americans. That's what we need to do. Because if they're going to be thuggish in stealing our money, all we need to do is take it back. Take it back. And that is a problem I have with a whole lot of the reporting right now. The reporting is terrible, and the reporting simply doesn't make any sense. Anyway, and one of the reasons is that we don't have people who know how to. Recently found this show, and I feel so home here. Enlightened people are hard to find. Egberto seems to be fighting the good fight. Thank you very much, Marxist for Biden, and please remember to share in your sphere of influence. In fact, it would be nice if you went ahead and did wherever you're watching it on Facebook, like it and share it, and that allows more people to see it. Now, Joyanne Reed, I know some of us don't like Joyanne Reed, but Joyanne Reed's interview style, as opposed to the kind of style that we have where people say, well, Donald Trump said XYZ, and the Biden said XYZ, they don't put the context in, they don't put the truth in, they just allow their medium to be used for lies. What I love about Joyanne Reed is that she doesn't take that. She comes and she gets things spoken, and she gets things done right. Let's listen to this, and then we'll take it on the other side. Let's talk journalism. There's a journalism of old and what journalists must be today, to which I say Joyanne Reed is the journalist of today. Many may not like her technique, but it's the only technique that actually works against folks like Donald Trump. The old form of journalism allowed this side says this, the other side said this, because we knew in the aggregate they were both coming from a position that they believed in and a position that wasn't inherently biased against truth. Now, I'm not saying that they didn't know they were spinning, but it wasn't necessarily an absolute bias against truth. Now, I want you to watch how she interviews this reporter, Jonathan Allen, because it's very important. Jonathan Allen, old style journalism, which for all practical purposes allows Donald Trump's narrative to come through untouched, because again, it's what this person said and not the analysis of what this person said or taking it one step deeper. Check this out, then we'll take it on the other side.
Donald Trump has done a new thing where people who raise $2.5 million for him, for his legal defense fund, get to get a personalized pair of his gold Never Surrender high top sneakers, according to a donor access program menu shared with NBC News. So basically, the $300 sneakers will cost you just $2.5 million in fundraising. How many takers are there for those?
Don't have an exact number yet, Joy, but there certainly will be some. I think somebody much smarter and more interesting than myself once said it's got to be the shoes. That's, I guess, what gets you to give $2.5 million. They did not say how they would be personalized.
Yeah.
Many times things are signed. I don't know if this means Donald Trump's going to wear them around for a while,
sure.
but the shoes are the big thing that those donor access menu talks about. They also get access to Trump campaign officials,
sure,
and various updates and retreats. And
maybe
like
a nicer
that.
Spot in the gulag if they criticize Trump and he gets angry. Let me ask you, you do a lot of reporting on Donald Trump, his promises and his campaign. What is he promising the ordinary MAGA who is willing to go to jail for him, in some cases commit felonies for him, the people who are out there at his rallies? What do they get? Because the super rich get super big tax cuts. He won't have an incentive to do another stimmy because he won't be facing another election. He'll be in for life. So there's not another reelection. So there's no reason to give them another stimmy check. So what do they get?
Yeah, I mean, you're pointing out a very huge conflict in his campaign's sort of theory, or who it's marketing to here, obviously, raising all this money from billionaires who want their taxes cut, mm-hmm, and also presenting himself as this populist. What do they get? He's arguing that they're going to get a better economy, that their boats will be lifted, mm-hmm, by a freer economy.
You mean a better economy than the one now?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings. From premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts, start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
3.8% unemployment and people getting their $30,000 student loan debt wiped out. Better than that, with the stock market in record high and us drilling more oil than any country in human history. Better than that economy. How's he going to do that? He didn't do it the first time. I'm just being honest. The economy was worse when he was there. What's his plan for that?
I'm not making the case that he's right. Simply telling you what he's telling folks.
Yeah.
But that's essentially what his argument is,
yeah,
to folks. The bottom of the scale, the folks, in terms of the folks who charge the Capitol, he's teasing the possibility of pardons for people he refers to as patriots.
Yeah, and those would be the most violent criminals that are currently locked up for assaulting police officers and committing mayhem, not just the ones who took a poop in the Capitol. Those people are already home.
Now, why is what Joanne Reed did important? As soon as Jonathan Allen says, well, the way the Trump campaign intend to get something spoken about is they say X, Y, Z. In other words, we know that the Donald Trump campaign is only in for the rich. After all, even when he was selling the China tariffs, the tariffs against China, he made it seem as if he was doing something for the working class, the middle class, his constituency. What he was really doing is screwing them, right? And time and again, his tax cuts, his tariffs, all these things screw the working class. So you need someone who is going to, for every time Donald Trump says, I am doing X, Y, Z, let it be seen what the results are going to be, as opposed to saying, he said this, she said that, he said this, he said that. And that is what Joanne Reed did as she interviewed Jonathan Allen. He made the comment and she pulled what the reality is. We need a new form of journalism on cable TV when dealing with Donald Trump. And now all the people that he has created, the right wing that's been there before he was, and how folks like the Heritage Foundation puts information out. It is essential that we leave no stone unturned. It is essential that we take care of interviewing in a manner that does not allow a false narrative to go unchallenged.
we spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it into a form that everybody can understand. We try to find those little nitpicks where it flies above the fray, etc. If you really like these videos that we do, I want to ask a big favor. Please go ahead, number one, subscribe to our channel, and number two, please join if you can. Thank you so kindly for watching. Keep watching. Please remember to share. We must populate the entire internet with our progressive message, a message that we know is what most Americans say that they want. So help us, please, join.
Let's talk journalism. Absolutely so, folks. Absolutely so. And by the way, welcome aboard, Charlie Lindahl. Hope you're doing fine, my brother. I hope you're doing fine, my brother. I posted those links to those as well in one of my recent blogs. I can't remember which one it is. Egberto, bookmark this. It's about the many here what to do. Okay, I'll do that right now on cognitive research. I will go ahead and bookmark it. You know, if Breach tells me to bookmark something, I am going to bookmark that something right now. And I'm trying to get to the bookmark. And I am going to go ahead and put it right here. Other bookmarks. There we go. All right. I got the bookmark. All right. Let's see what else we got. What else we got here before we move on? Charlie Lindahl says the effects of repetition frequency on the illusory truth effect. You know, Charlie, that is sad, but it's true. You keep repeating something, it eventually becomes a reality to some, to the what I call the feeble-minded. All right. Lee Grant says everybody's living paycheck to paycheck and $400 away from financial disaster. How were so many people able to spring for eclipse tourism? Again, America is a huge country. And this is what I tell people all of the times. You take a look at how many people went ahead and did that eclipse. If it's 5% of the population, it's a lot. No, it wasn't a lot of people, folks. I mean, talking relative to the size of the population. So no, a lot of people are in pain, but you know, that's just the reality. Let's see. It seems like, let's see what else we got here. The Egberto headline is the effects of repetition frequency on the illusionary truth effect. I got it. The title of the link that provided by restream.vat. I don't know what you mean, Charlie. I guess Bridge will take care of that. Egberto, is that is me about article. Got you. I think I got you. All right, CNBC from Rudden. More than 60% of Americans. Yeah, that's the link that I provided as well, I think, Rudden. 60% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck as of September 2023, according to Lending Club report. Even people in higher income brackets are affected. More than half of Americans earning over $100,000 a year live paycheck to paycheck. It's amazing, isn't it? And also, what else we got here? Okay, I have another video for you. This one here is a conversation that I had this morning with a French woman on my show, on the KPFT 90.1 FM show. And I was just so happy to hear her voice. Because, you know, we talk in abstractions when we talk about OECD countries are better than ours, etc. Because they are. They offer better health care, longer lifespans, and you don't go bankrupt from their healthcare system. It's a statement of fact, and we can bring every Canadian on here and anyone that wants to tell the truth. And by the way, I read the article that Brother CSAC gave us yesterday about the bankruptcies in Canada. And again, it's a perfect bait and switch that these people like to do. It's a perfect bait and switch. And unfortunately, it works with some people with a particular mindset. But let's go ahead and listen to this French woman, and then we'll take it on the other side. Today, we kind of, on my KPFT show, we kind of deviated into the healthcare system and different countries and how they provide healthcare. And Cece, a caller who is a native of France, called and really sort of explained how their system works and let us know that it relieves the stress, it is deterministic, etc., not the crapshoot that we have here in America. And of course, we know that people in all these OECD countries, like France and others, they have better lifespans than we have here. So listen to what she had to say. Let's take it on the other side. Let's go to Cece. Come on in, Cece.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
Thank you. Oh, that's great to know. Sorry, I'm a bit nervous.
Wait. First of all, stop. Cece, stop. We are having a conversation. Don't ever be nervous on this show. Be nervous elsewhere. But we love all our callers, no matter where your point of view is. So have fun.
Thank you. So I wanted to add on to your perspective, and also since you were curious to know about other healthcare system, I'm originally from France, and one of the most praised structure or infrastructure that we have in France is the healthcare system. And we do have a system that is now crumbling, in fact, but it's still relying on the single payer system. Now, I'm with you when you want to defend it, because what it says is basically there is a system that prices everything, every procedure, every medical visit, every medication. And the government, just like you explained, subsidizes it. Now, if the doctor want to have what we call out-of-network from the subsidized system, they can charge over that pricing. They will not be receiving the subsidized funds from the government, but we do have a private system on top of the public system. But the public system have tiers depending on how much you are paying with your social security. Everything is tied. You will have a price that is based on a ticket, and for every single of those procedure or every single of those visits, you will be charged for that much. And then on top of that, because you want to be covered for those additional expenses, you get an insurance. So insurance is not tied to the healthcare system in the sense of you can, for instance, get to the dentist and you will have to pay extra charge on top of what is covered by the public funds. You get your insurance to cover that part. So the system is amazing. It has been working forever. And I wish and we can, you know, imagine a way that we would have it in the U.S. because it just alleviates so much stress and so much anxiety on households thinking that they are one bill away from getting bankrupt. There is no world where America can be seen as one of the most innovative country and let their population go bankrupt for a medical bill. That doesn't make any sense.
We're out for time, but I am so thankful to your call, because let me tell you, the only thing that works is for people who've lived it and understand it to teach us Americans that we don't have to succumb to the cronies here that makes us believe that somehow we are better than everyone else when others have gone through this, have better lifespans, have less stress, etc. So I want to thank you so kindly for calling us and informing us on this particular issue.
You're very welcome. And just one last thing, because you did mention something about the cronies. When you have one particular institution that you can point at and look at and have accountability to, it makes a difference. In France, we have what we call the Court of Accounting, which check every single institution, expenses, and spending.
So, Cece, yeah, I got to go, and thank you so kindly. Now, if we would get off the indoctrination that we have that somehow a single-payer system, there's something wrong with it. Think about how many lives in America would be saved. Think about how much money in America would be saved. Think about how we could prevent those parasites in the insurance industry, the healthcare industry, the hospital industry, the drug industry, pharmaceutical industry, from ripping us off blind. We are the only country that they have the opportunity to rip us off, and that's because we have allowed our people to be dummified into believing that doing the wrong thing is the right thing. We need to solve that problem. Let's make sure and work towards healthcare for all, one healthcare system that covers everybody, whether you're a veteran, an older person, a younger person, or whatever. We don't need the complexity and the evil of the system that we have today.
We spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it into a form that everybody can understand. We try to find those little nitpicks where it flies above the fray, etc. If you really like these videos that we do, I want to ask a big favor. Please go ahead, number one, subscribe to our channel, and number two, please join if you can. Thank you.
Anyway, folks. So yes, it was great hearing from the young lady from France, who lived both systems, right? She lived inside of France where you had sustainable healthcare. And again, it didn't bankrupt you. And then she lived here. And the thing that, I don't know if you noticed, one of the important things she spoke about is having a stress-free healthcare experience. Same thing I hear from Canadians, stress-free healthcare experience. You get care when you need care. Look, no system is perfect, but no system is as bad as ours. Even in poor countries, I mean, Costa Rica that sends people out to meet, I mean, our system is bad and it can change your entire life outcome. You could think that you are upper middle class and somebody in your household gets sick and it changes your entire financial picture. I did quite a few things, but you know, it turns out that my daughter had two strokes and my wife has lupus, and that has changed because of where we live. Because we live in Texas, that has materially changed our entire outcome in our latter years. And these are things that you can't protect against, right? Because we have an evil system where insurance companies decide if they will pay or not pay, and you have to fight to get them to pay, or else they'll try to destroy your income. I mean, it is a horrendous system that we have here, and until we find out for sure, or until we have enough people who have sufficient empathy for those who are currently sick, because they could be, until that happens, we will continue to be in this state of fracaso, meaning a state of healthcare failure. Persuasive Barrier is in the house. How are you doing, Persuasive Barrier? Let's see what else we got here. Michael says, the thing about left-wing policies and government, creating governments that prioritize the needs of the people, is that they work exceptionally well until right-wingers intentionally break it, so that their corporate backers can profit from the damage, then blame their political opposition for having broken it. If you notice, I noticed a French woman said something like it's mostly working. And what we found that happens, it's happening with the health care system in UK, the national health system called NHS in the UK, National Health Service, I think it's called. And as soon as they brought in the privateers, the system started to go downhill. Again, the private sector in healthcare destroys healthcare. And a caller said it earlier today, and I'll play a piece of that one as well. And he points out that there is no money in keeping people healthy. There is no money in our healthcare system to improve the health of Americans. There's no money in it. So a capitalist country doesn't try to make people healthy. They try to give them more health care. And you can only give them more health care if they're sick. That's what we don't get. And that's why I say capitalism is indefinite. It's indefinite conflict with health, providing health care. I repeat, capitalism is in conflict with health care. Because for capitalism to work, you want constant growth. You want people to have access to the services you're providing. Because again, you want constant growth. You want to provide constant service. But in a society that is trying to get healthier, in a society that are doing things to get you healthier, you move the health, the health system out of existence or vastly reduced. And that is not by definition how capitalism works. And that's why we ought, when we talk about having to have an educated population, so that whenever you say you want a single payer healthcare system, immediately people don't say, socialism, it doesn't work. You don't want that. You want them to understand that in a system that depends on growth, it is diametrically opposed, those two systems. Healthcare and capitalism simply does not mix. They are mutually exclusive. And you know what proves that? Reality. What is occurring in our healthcare system has already proven that. So it's amazing. Anyway, folks, I have one last video, and I think you're going to like this one. So let's go ahead and play this one, and then that's the last video of the day. So here we go. Let's go to Raymond. Raymond, come on in.
Good morning, Alberto. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Fantastic. First of all, thank you for what you do. I appreciate your candor more than anything with all of the guests, regardless of their perspectives. I'm not big on debate, but you asked for people to call in and share their thoughts and opinions about the medical system. So I figured I'd give it a try.
Sure.
I think you're right about a few executives collecting the majority of the profits. I think it's a little more insidious even than you claim that it is or state that it is. I think there are a group of executives that have their hands in not only the medical system, but also the pharmaceutical system and the food production systems. And I think a big part of our healthcare challenges are that those people are engineering a system between those three where they provide food that doesn't nourish the body very well, leads to illness and disease like diabetes, and then they treat those symptoms with medication. Of course, they're profiting from the pharmaceutical companies, and then it's a cycle in and out of the hospital. So they're collecting money on three fronts, and all of them are causing a shorter lifespan for Americans. And I think that's what I see. And that's just an observation. So I figured I would share that with you.
And let me just first of all tell you that I think you nailed it. And it isn't. And by the way, I agree with you wholeheartedly, but I even add another system to it. And let me tell you why I'm adding the other system to it. And I spoke about this in my book, As I See It, Class Warfare, the Only Resort to Right-Wing Doom. A very important part of that system is also called the patent system, okay? And the reason the patent system is involved there is by having a patent system, you also preclude others from doing things similarly that you're doing that could be a lot more effective, a lot cheaper.
I think you're advocating the government running the healthcare system, from what I gather. And I didn't hear your whole conversation because I don't get out on the road until about 6:30. But I agree with government involvement. I think the government's involvement should focus on demonopolizing or getting rid of the monopolies that are in the system, as opposed to taking it all the way over. So I differ in your opinion on that. I come from a perspective of paying cash for my medical expenses, and I do participate in a shared medical program that's not an insurance program that works very well for my family and has for many years. But I negotiate every bill that I get, and I pay every bill that I get, and I get reimbursed for it from my association. So that works well for me. I'm not saying that'll work well for everybody, but by doing that, I encounter a lot of smaller businesses that charge very reasonable prices, give you the prices up front, do a great service, and I enjoy that type of healthcare. And I think that's a good model, as opposed to having everything owned by one big governmental organization. Because if you look at the way our military functions, there is an awful lot of overspending and waste. I mean, I'm in the construction business, and I see how much those government contracts pay for products, and it's oftentimes three times the money that the market would pay out in the bid market. There's a lot of waste in the spending in those organizations. So I think by demonopolizing it and regulating it to the point where it can be run more fairly for the consumer, we can get a lot of that wasted money back out of the system and use it to actually help people.
Now, let me just say that I don't see the disagreement here. I want the government as a backstop. You are able to pay your particular bills on an individual basis to the doctors that you like. But if you were to get certain types of cancers, you could not support that on your own. You would need us as a backstop to pay the kinds of bills that kind of coverage from chemotherapy to solutions and all of that. So I'm saying I believe what I've advocated is single payer and subsidized doctors, not government run. Subsidized doctors because again, the knowledge comes from us all, and single payer. What that means is that when a doctor gets out of college, they don't have to have high prices to live to pay off the bills that they've incurred to become doctors. So if we look at healthcare as a right, then we also inherently say having doctors are a requirement if healthcare is a right. And how do we get that? We have a competitive way of passing doctors through a system that they get paid for. And then the rest is free enterprise. Free enterprise mean doctors create their independent services. You like this doctor, you go to that doctor. You like this other doctor, you go to that doctor. But it is paid for from general funds and that card. Of course, we have guidelines, etc. And I don't see how that is in any way different than the opportunity that you have, just with a hell of a lot more safety to ensure that you don't, if you break your leg and some doctor tells you it's going to cost $100,000 that you don't have, that no longer occurs. So I don't see a lot of difference in what you want and what I'm saying we need to get.
Well, and what you're saying makes a lot of sense to me. And I think if done appropriately, it's a good path to go towards, which is kind of unusual because I tend to disagree with a bunch of things you say on a regular basis. But
look, I appreciate you, Raymond. Anything else before I jump to Gonzalo?
Yeah, I realize you got to jump to the next caller. It's been a pleasure talking with you. Thank you, Alberto.
Thank you, Raymond. You have a great day. Anyway, folks, as you can see, when you have conversation, if you're conversing with a conservative, and he's what I call a thinking conservative, because if after you've had a civil conversation with him and you go ahead and it the numbers add up, the person says, oh, yeah, I don't care if I'm a conservative. That works better than what we have now. Intellectual honesty, irrespective of ideology, is what's going to move our country forward. Intellectual honesty. In other words, not just say no because it doesn't fit your ideological stance. If something works, screw your ideological stance and think humanity first. Think humanity first. And that's what that brother Raymond did. He said, oh, I usually disagree with everything that you said, but after we've had this dialogue, I see where that makes sense. That's an intelligent guy. That is an intelligent guy. And if we were to get off our ideological horses and simply work towards things that are better for all of us, then it would be fine. Okay, then it would be fine. Look, Eric, these different types of programs, if you get certain kinds of diseases, it would overwhelm the program. It's a mathematical thing. All right, you have a lot of these share things that you pay out of pocket and all. It works up to a point. But if you get a disease that would cost $500,000, you would blow the budget of all of you who are pooling money together. You need a much bigger plan. You need an insurance company. And the biggest and best insurance company to have is called Uncle Sam. We can get rid of paying executives millions of dollars. We can get rid of doing all those bills. Okay? That's all. We could get rid of all of that. One insurance company, our government, that gives us the protection that we need. You can't have something else that won't ultimately have the possibility of going bankrupt. Okay? That's it. And again, Mike Cisak, that's not true. It's math. Again, if you understand math, you understand why MediShare and all these guys have a limit to where they can go. Check. That's it. All right. I mean, there is a limit. If you need certain kinds of treatments, a group of 1,000 people or a group of 10,000 people is not sufficient to cover the bill. It's a mathematical fact. I know you guys are anti-math, but at some point, math has to prevail. Anyhow, with respect to that T-shirt that you saw me have, where it comes to that trick. No, nobody's paying me to wear a trick. I am a cyclist, or I used to be a cyclist. I used to do 60 miles a day, sometimes 100 miles a day. And, you know, on the weekends, that is 100 miles on the weekend. And wait a minute. Well, I'm not even Mike Cisak. False and false. Okay. But anyway, as it turns out, I wear those T-shirts, and I have a whole scores of T-shirts. These different T-shirts that we did when we rode. You know, we'd ride from Houston to Austin, from Houston to Magnolia, and you know, we'll do all these long rides. And so that's where. But now I don't ride anymore. I don't want to fall and break my neck and have to hit the insurance company. So I ride every morning on my spinner. So I get up in the morning, I put on my workout gear, and then I go ahead and do the work. All right, here is the thing. Here's from Eric. MediShare is one of the largest health shares in the United States with over 260,000 members, and has shared nearly $6 billion of members' medical expenses over the last 30 years, according to their 2021 report. And that's fine. $6 billion. That doesn't come close if enough of the people in that share gets a severe illness. All you have to do is the math, Eric. $6 billion over how many years since 2021? Come on. Do the math, please. Do the math. That's all I'm asking you to do. Do the math. Jesus Christ, you have the numbers right there. 260,000 members and $6 billion. Do the math. Madre carajo mío. Anyhow, as you can see, people, that is a problem. That is a problem. When you have, the solution is, if you have government, you don't have that math problem. You don't have that math problem because, first of all, the kinds of costs, something that costs $500,000 shouldn't. Okay? It's that simple. Egberto, Mike C. making a simplistic assertion, thinking there's truth in simplicity. There's a floor at which a minimalist explanation can still be true, but lies don't require any such limiter. Lies can be as simple as you want. The problem being that some people want to believe the simplest answer rather than the factual one. Exactly. But you know what is the funny thing about it, Rudnin? All the guy has to do is the math. And, you know, they just gave me two numbers, 260,000 people, $6 billion. That's not that an insurance company would immediately fail under those circumstances. If the 260,000 people fit a particular profile, health profile, $6 billion ain't no money. But hey, what can I say? It's sad that people just can't understand math over ideology. But maybe they stay here long enough that they'll get it. All right, let's go ahead and say, folks, please support the program. We're about to end it. How can you support the program? You can support the program in one of many ways. Please consider becoming a... now they talk about compounded interest. Oh, my God. Lord, help me. Anyhow, let's go ahead and do this. Support the program. You can support the program by becoming a patron. You become a patron by going to politicsunright.com/patron. Patron is spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N. politicsunright.com/patron, P-A-T-R-E-O-N. You can also become a subscriber to our newsletter. How do you become a subscriber to our newsletter? Go to politicsunright.com/newsletter. politicsunright.com/newsletter. If you become a paid subscriber, you can read all of my books for free. I currently have 5 books. I grow my repertoire every year. So please consider becoming a paid member of our newsletter by going to politicsunright.com/newsletter. Please also know that we have a list of all the different ways you can support the program by going to politicsunright.com/support, politicsunright.com/support. And by doing that, you can go ahead. Don't translate it in English, my brother. That's why I said it in Spanish, okay? Don't translate it in English. All right. Again, folks, and please consider getting one of our many books in hard copy. You can get that at politicsunright.com/books, politicsunright.com/books. And I'm putting that in the – my latest book is Tribulations of an Afro-Latino Caribbean Man. Racism Did Not Stop My Smile, Hope, or Journey Forward. It's a book that everybody, irrespective of your ethnicity, would really, really, really love. Now, again, please support the program however you can. Eric liked my book. Thank you, Eric. I'm glad that you liked my book. So please become a paid subscriber of our newsletter at politicsunright.com/newsletter. Anyway, folks, I got to get out of here. My name is Egberto Willis. This is Politics Done Right. And you guys know how I end this baby. I am what? Out!
We spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it into a form that everybody can understand. We try to find those little nitpicks where it flies above the fray, etc. If you really like these videos that we do, I want to ask a big favor. Please go ahead, number one, subscribe to our channel, and number two, please join if you can. Thank you so kindly for watching. Keep watching. Please remember to share. We must populate the entire internet with our progressive message, a message that we know is what most Americans say that they want. So help us, please join.